Psalm 84. And yes, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Psalm 84, and we're going to read the whole of the Psalm. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and a swallow a nest for herself, for she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart, in whose heart are the ways of men. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a wail. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he uphold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. The Lord will bless to our hearts the reading of his word. Let's bow in prayer together. Our God and Father, we have been before thee already and thank thee for thy sovereign love. We ask that as we turn to thy word this evening, that we might hear that still small voice of thy Spirit. Minister to us, we pray. And grant that even tonight we might see the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, we pray of thee. Be with us because we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight and use as our text the words of verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a wail, the rain also filleth the pools. I want to speak to you about the valley experiences of the people of God. Psalm 23, the Lord says, or David says to the Lord, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Here in Psalm 84, we have the valley of Baca, quite literally the valley of weeping, translated in other places, the valley of Hinnom, or Henna, or Gehenna, one of the Hebrew words for hell or the grave. But it was a long, narrow ravine that ran around the base of Mount Zion. In Hosea 2:15, the Lord promises Hosea that he will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. So there have been valley experiences in the lives of the people of God of old, and there are valley experiences in the lives of the people of God today. First thing I want to say to you, beloved, is that valley experiences are real. They're every bit as much part of God's plan for us as the mountaintop experiences. And God is the God of the valley every bit as much as He is the God of the mountaintop. One of the things I have had to learn is that not all the valleys are the same. I would hate to try and count how many times in my pastoral ministry I have taken someone's hand or I have put my arm on their shoulder and I have said to them, I know what you're going through. The truth was, I didn't have a clue what they were going through. It may have been a nice thing to say. It may even have been said in sincerity. But it is a kind of a bland statement that tries to get people to recognize that all the valleys we go through are the same. And that's not the case. Earlier this year, we had some problems in our assembly. And I remember sitting in my home night after night, almost desolate, thinking that this was a valley that was deeper than any I had ever been in before, wondering what God's purpose could have been and wondering how I was ever going to come out of that valley. I actually said to my wife, I can't imagine feeling any worse than I feel now. I knew that valley experiences were painful. But when I learned that there were deeper valleys than I had ever been in, I began to learn just how painful they really are. On May 18th, 3 months ago today, the Lord called home our 19-year-old son. Sometimes in those 3 months, I've had to pinch myself and convince myself that it's true. And from thinking that I had been in the deepest of valleys, I was taken into a valley that is scarcely conceivable in my heart. Now, of course, the valley experience in Psalm 84 is a valley for those who walk with God. David's talking in Psalm 84 about those whose desire was to climb that mountain that they might be in the presence of God. Those who had no interest in climbing that mountain probably wouldn't have understood what David was talking about, but the only way you could get to Mount Zion was to pass through the Valley of Weeping. The only way you could get into the very presence of the Lord and with the people of God as they worshiped was to walk, and was to walk with God. I made a comment to a friend, I'm glad that I didn't have any friends like Job. But there were still lessons that I had to learn. The first lesson was that when God takes us down into the valley, He doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't leave us alone. It's not God's way of saying, listen, you've done something wrong, and I'm going to take you down into the valley, and I'm going to separate from you, and I'm going to punish you. First thing I asked myself was, in the presence of God was, Lord, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done to cause you to bring this into my life? And I had to learn that it wasn't what I had done. It didn't mean that I had stepped out of God's will, and it was strange, you know. Just after our son was killed, one of the men that had opposed me and the problems in the fellowship took ill, and his children had paid for a vacation and he wasn't able to go. And one of the men from the chapel came to me one night and said, you see what happens when you stand against God's man? I said, what are you talking about? He says, see what happened to brother such and such? He stood against you and God has punished him. I said, how has God punished him? He says, well, he's not able to go on the vacation his kids bought for him. And I said, brother, I hope he's not saying the same thing about me. He said, what do you mean, brother? I said, well, he could be standing over there saying, well, I might have been wrong. The Lord's taken my vacation away from me. He said, but you look at that fellow Gould. The Lord's taken his son away from... He looked at me and said, brother, I'm sorry. I never thought that through. That's what Job's friends did. They looked at Job and they said, Job, hey, that's why God's doing it. When God takes us down into the valley, he takes us down into the valley for his purpose. And his purpose is always for our good. And rarely is it a punishment. There are some valleys. The Valley of Achor, and you know the story of the book of Hosea, the Valley of Achor was a valley of Gomer's own making. And it was a valley that God took her into that he might deal with her sin and that he might restore her to her first husband. The valley of weeping is not something that God does as a punishment. The valley experience doesn't mean that God's punishing you or that God has left you. And most of all, beloved, it doesn't mean that God has stopped loving you. You know the strange thing? We have experienced the love of God in greater measure in the valley than we ever have on the mountaintop. God has drawn so clearly and so beautifully close to us. His presence was so wonderful, still is. And God has purpose in the pain, though we can't always see it. And God has purpose in the tears, though we can't often see it. I was sharing this afternoon, just a week after Graham went to be with the Lord, we were traveling to Charlotte, and my wife had a new CD to play in her car. It was a CD of hymns and choruses, and I sat listening to it until the words of this song came on. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. And I froze. My mother-in-law was in the car and she's not a believer. I wasn't going to let her see my lack of faith, but I kind of pointed toward the right front of the car and I stiffened up and I wasn't going to go through those words. You are the potter, I am the clay, and tears began running down my face. And soon the song finished and I relaxed. Then the next song came on. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. And I couldn't sing it. I couldn't sing it. I opened my Bible, I had it on my knee, and all the rest of the songs and the CD passed, and I turned over to the book of Job, chapter 1. And I had always thought that the last verse of Job chapter 1 As the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. When I turned over to Job chapter 1, I find that the last verse of Job chapter 1 says, and in all these things, Job sinned not and accused not the Lord. And as I sat in the car, my heart melted. And I said, Lord, I can't blame you. I can't be angry at you. The CD played on, came round, back to the beginning. My wife looked at me. She knew what I was going through. She said, do you want me to turn it off or can we listen to it again? I said, let's listen to it again. This time when it came to the words, have thine own way, Lord, I was able to mouth them and even managed to sing a few of them in my broken voice. But when it came to I love you, Lord, I began to sing it out with the tears running down my face. And I had to learn that not only had God not stopped loving me, He hadn't taken me down into the valley so that I would stop loving Him. Whatever His purpose was in the pain, whatever His purpose was in the tears, it wasn't to push me away from Him, but it was to draw me close to Him. Not all the valleys are the same, but no matter how deep God takes you in the valley, there are some things that never change. There are promises that God gives to us. No matter how deep the valley is. No matter how deep the valley is. Let me just tell you, the day after we traveled to Charlotte, I was down in the shopping mall in Sanford. And the lady came up to me and she said, Joe, we've been praying for you. She says, I don't know what you've been going through, but I want to tell you that we love you and we know something of it. And then she turned to me and she said this. My boy was 18 years old. He didn't die. A week before his 18th birthday, he went to a party. And somebody gave him crack cocaine. First time he'd ever used it, and it blew something in his mind. She said he's in Dorothea Dix Hospital permanently. He's in a padded room. Sometimes he knows us, sometimes he doesn't. I went home and I told my wife, and she said, Joe, there are valleys even deeper than the one that God has taken us down into. And there are many of God's people. That's the purpose of my message tonight. There are many of God's people who walk in the valley. No, they don't. They walk through the valley. They walk through the valley. And sometimes the amazing thing is that as we stumble and struggle and fall and pick ourselves up again, it's just like Psalm 84 says, we make the valley a well. Other people see it and they glorify the God of heaven. Because they see Him to be so real in our hearts and lives. One of the things that people say to me is, Joe, you've been so strong. I answered it today, I answer it now. No, I'm not. If you only knew how weak I really am, you would never let me stand in your pulpit. the grace of God is strong. There are days I get up and I go to the grave and I sit at the grave and I cry. And I sit there till I'm finished crying. There are times when I walk up to my room and I get down on my knees and I just say, God, if I'm going to go any further, you're going to have to give me the grace. But the promises that he gives are these. First of all, there's the promise of his presence. Yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, thou art with me. Beloved, you've no idea, unless you've been in the valley and God has drawn near and said, I am with you. I promised never to leave you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He doesn't take us into the valley to drive us away. He takes us into the valley that we might learn the nearness of his presence. I want to tell you something that is probably very evident. If I didn't have the Lord, if my wife didn't have the Lord, we would be insane already. If there was no gospel hope, if there was no promise of the presence of God, I would probably have committed suicide 3 months ago. For I would have had little or nothing to live for. One of the things I had to do was get into the presence of God and examine the things that I have preached for nearly 30 years. And after the sternest examination, the Word of God is still true. And the Gospel of Jesus Christ is still the only hope for mankind in the face of life and in the face of death. Were it not for the Gospel of Jesus Christ, we would be lost and undone. Second thing the Lord promises in the valley is his comfort. And you don't know it probably as much as you should, and the people of God at Sanford don't know it, but a big part of the comfort of God is the comfort that he brings through his people. The comfort that he brings through those who lift us before the Lord in prayer. Those who just reach out a hand and say, we love you. I didn't count. But of all the fellowships that we know, Sanford and here, the people of God at Sanford Chapel and the people of God here at Faith Bible Chapel, stood behind us more than any other that we know of. There was one day when almost every person in Faith Bible Chapel came or called, and that meant so much to us. That was the comfort of God. And the Lord says, my rod and my staff are there in the valley to comfort you. And his presence and his comfort are a great strength when we walk in the valley. Third thing the Lord promises is hope. One of the hardest things to do was to come home from the hospital and waken our son Jonathan and tell him. And I'll never forget his words. He looked at me, and then he looked at Mom, and then he looked back at me, and he said, no, Daddy. But we'll see him again, won't we? We'll see him again. it will be worth it all. I say that from the depths of my heart tonight. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. That's the reality of the gospel. That's the reality of the hope that God has given to us in the person of His Son. Paul says, if in this world only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. And oh, how true that is. The last thing God promises is strength. You notice what it says in Psalm 84. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. They go from strength to strength. God has given us a promise, as thy days are, so shall thy strength be. Beloved, it's not only a promise to Diane and Joe Gould, it's a promise to every child of God that God takes down into a valley, regardless of how deep that valley is. But not only do we have promises in the valley, we have lessons that we need to learn in the valley. Problems we had at Sanford Chapel were because I had the audacity to preach from the pulpit that God is sovereign. One man came to me and told me, I won't sit under your ministry when you preach about a sovereign God. The man came to my home the day my son was killed. He put his arms on my shoulder and he said, Brother, it's just part of the Lord's perfect plan. You've no idea how tempted I was to say to him, if God's not sovereign, He doesn't have a perfect plan. He can't have a perfect plan. But I was able to stand again in the pulpit at Sanford Chapel and from the depths of my heart say, Beloved, God is still sovereign. God is still the God who works all things according to the purpose of His own will. And He didn't take me aside and say, Now listen, Joe, I'm going to explain to you why I took Graham home. He just held out His hand and said, Take my hand. And no matter how deep the valley goes, I'll walk with you. Some people say that's not very much to go on with. It's all we need. It's what He gives. I was talking to my mother on the phone this morning and I said, Mom, I never thought it would be so easy to just turn and walk away from everything. Before I got finished, she said to me, Son, you can't walk away. I said, Mom, where would I go? If I walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ, where would I go? I would have to say with the disciples of old, Master, where can we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Jonah went down into the valley, down into the belly of the whale, down into the depths of the earth. And from the depths of the earth he could cry, Salvation is of the Lord. We've maybe not gone down that deep, but we can say we have a God in heaven who is sovereign in all things. And one day, long time ago, we bowed our heads and we bowed our knees and we said, God, we thank you for this beautiful baby. And we give him back into your tender care. And God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Second lesson we've learned is this. No matter how deep the valley is, the valley will end. The valley will end. Weeping, and I've done my share. And I'm not ashamed of it. Not at all. My little niece came over and she visited with us and she said, "You haven't cried as much as I thought you would." And I looked at her and I said, "Janet, if crying would bring Graham Gould back, I'd be out in the middle of the main street in Sanford crying every minute of every day." And she realized what she'd said and she looked at me and she said, "Uncle Joe, I'd be out there with you." Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh. Thank God for that. Joy cometh in the morning. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Paul said to the Corinthians, "I am persuaded that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed hereafter." The valley will end one day. Maybe it'll end by the Lord taking me home. Maybe it'll end by the Lord coming. That would be beautiful. Even in the darkest valley, there's a sense of humor. A couple of days after the Lord took Graham home, Diane and I went out one night just to get something at the local store, just to get out of the house. And you know, in the local grocery stores, all these magazines are piled up beside the checkout. And one of them had big writing, "Judgment Day, December 31st, 1996. And the people round about me must have thought I was crazy, because when I said in a loud voice, "Amen, Lord, I'll take it. I'll take it. December 30th. If that's all I've got to wait to see my son again, I'll dry my tears. I'll take it." It might not be, but at least we know that one day he's coming. Word of God says, every one of them appeareth before God in Zion. You know, that's a promise. He will give grace and glory. That's a promise. It's a promise to those who walk in the valley of Baca. Another lesson I've learned is the nearness of eternity. I told you this morning about Graham's picture sitting in my car. It's not an idol. If you have heard me, and I know you have, talk about my sons for the years I've been coming, I never ever painted them as perfect little angelic children. They were like their daddy, but not nearly as perfect as he is. We're confident that Graham is in heaven because of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done. But we have just been reminded just how close to eternity we really are. I told you this morning about the words we put on Graham's headstone. "Whom he justified, them he also glorified." I want to read a poem to you. I used to write a lot of poetry, and then I stopped. And I was traveling to Georgia in my car. I was traveling at least at the speed limit. And the words of a poem began to come to me, and I wrote them as I was traveling. And then I rewrote them when I stopped. I called it "In a Moment." He left us in a moment. The Lord, he called him home. Your life on earth is finished, Graham. In heaven now you'll roam. Your loved ones, they will miss you. But soon they'll join the throng to sing the praise of heaven's Lamb, the great redemption song. Graham seen the nail-pierced hands. He's seen the riven side. He's seen the Lamb for him once slain, by the Father glorified. He left us in a moment, a young man of 19 years. So many precious memories to cheer this veil of tears. Yes, soon we shall be with you. We'll see that glorious place. Like you, we'll see the Lamb of God, a sinner saved by grace. We'll see the nail-pierced hands. We'll see the riven side. We'll see the Lamb for us once slain, by the Father glorified. He left us for a moment. For us, it seems so long. We're looking out in darkness. He sings that new song. But we know that the Lord makes no mistakes. The darkness soon shall end. Jesus soon shall come again. And he's bringing Graham with him. Each eye will see the nail-pierced hand. They'll see the riven side. They'll bow before the Lamb once slain. Confess him glorified. You know, the words in a moment have tremendous depth in the Word of God. For we know that Jesus is coming in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I don't know what your valley experience is today. And I certainly don't know what valleys the Lord may take you into tomorrow. But I know this. If you have Christ, you will never walk through that valley alone. And you will never walk through that valley without comfort. And you will never walk through that valley without hope. And you will never walk through that valley without strength. A mother came up to me one day in a restaurant just a few weeks ago. And she said to me, "Joe, I want to thank you that in the depths of what you were going through, you gave my son good advice." I remembered her son coming to see as I didn't have a clue what I said to him. So I looked at his mom and I said, "Remind me what I told you, boy." She said, "Mr. Gould, you took him by the hand and you just said, 'BJ, live for Christ. Live for eternity.' The day is coming when the valleys of the people of God will soon be over. The mountaintop will be a permanent experience. It really will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And I want to tell you, from the deepest valley that I've ever been in, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Prove him. Put him to the test. Don't think that I'm going to go home from here and all my crying is done. I'll spend a good part of my days crying. For a big part of my life has gone on to heaven. Dear old sister put her arms around me and said, just don't be too jealous. I know you never liked him to beat you at anything, but he beat you to glory. He beat me to glory. He's with Christ. What a hope we have, beloved. Even in the valley, what a hope we have. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we come with thanksgiving upon our heart. And we thank you that in the depths of the valley, you teach us to be able to say, I love you, Lord. And you teach us that you have the right to have your own way. For you are God, as David said in Psalm 84, my King and my God. Father, we bow our hearts and we humbly surrender all that we are to thee, knowing that you are God. You will use in a way that's pleasing to you. For those in the valley, Lord, make your presence real. Make your comfort real. Open their eyes and fill their hearts with that hope that one day we shall see the King. As we have sung, that it really will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Lord, we pray that out of this meeting in no sense will glory be given to the Gould family or to Graham Gould.